What a great comfort that is. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalm 119, verse 73. Psalm 119, verse 73, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God, section Yod of Psalm 119. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Section Kaf. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Lamed. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. As we approach this section of Psalm 119, it doesn't have to be this section. It could be really the rest of Psalm 119 and many places in the Psalter as well that this comes through. And I would say that it is all right to recognize that certain portions of the Bible have different emphases than others. I know we're loath to say, oh, well, this is my favorite verse. Well, because what does that do with all the rest of them, right? So we don't want to say things like that per se, but we do want to recognize particular emphases when they just leap off the page at us. And here in these three sections, I think that what leaps off of the page is the reverence that the psalmist has toward God's word. Maybe you were not impressed with that. Maybe you saw another emphasis. I'd be interested in hearing your comments later. But for right now, that was what leaps off the page in my study and meditation on this section. And I hope you see that as well. Over and again, there is this dedication, this lifting up of the heart of the psalmist to the commandments of God. There's a great reverence here that he expresses toward God's commands in all three of these sections. We might say truly in all of Psalm 119. So notice at the first part of the first section, he acknowledges that the Lord has made and fashioned him. Now this has several implications throughout that first section. The Lord has made and fashioned us, so the implications are He knows what's good for us. He knows what's best for us. If you want to make a machine run correctly, one of the first things you ought to do is contact the designer of that machine. How often do I change the oil in it? How often do I adjust the fuel mix? What happens when, after 10,000 hours of running, what do I need to do? Right? And we do that very often. Well, it is in that condescending sense that the Lord manifests Himself. The Lord has made us and fashioned us, so we go to Him for the understanding of how we ought to conduct ourselves, how we ought to handle the maintenance of our bodies and our souls. And so He cries out in the next phrase, "Give me understanding. Thou hast made and fashioned me, so then, give me understanding." Now, in the prayer, "Give me understanding," there's a tacit admission there, isn't there? What is the admission? I haven't made me, and so I don't know about me like I should. Give me understanding. I need direction from the Lord to figure out how rightly to manage my affairs. The maintenance of my body and my soul. They are best understood, not from my own feeling my way through it, but give me understanding. And so the prayer for understanding is quite often seen in Scripture, and a good example for us that we should also be praying that the Lord would grant us understanding. And then note what the understanding is, that I may learn Thy commandments. Now, I'm not going to expand very much on that because this afternoon's sermon is about meditating on the law of God. We're commanded to do that, and so we're going to talk about that this afternoon. But notice where the mind of the psalmist runs when he says, "Thou hast made me and fashioned me, give me understanding." What is the result that he's looking for? "That I may learn Thy commandments." Okay. So then, notice that there is a great community among the people of God. "They that fear Thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in Thy word." So there's a particular thing that all of these folks have in common. That is, that aside or separate from those outside the church who have no interest in God's word, no affection for it, no love for it, they're not praying to the Lord saying, "Give me understanding that I may keep Thy commandments." Rather, they're saying, "Get away from me and let me do my own thing." Okay, so there is a mutual encouragement that comes to the people of God because we're all pulling on the rope together. We all have that same post at the end of the row that we're all looking at and moving, no matter where we're found on this continuum over here. We're moving in that direction toward that post, toward that standard. So that's what the psalmist references here. All right, then he says, notice, "I know, Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and that Thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me." All right, well, sometimes afflictions are sinfully used by us to doubt the Lord's faithfulness. You see how the affections of the psalmist are running exactly in the opposite direction from that. He's not using afflictions in his life to doubt the Lord's faithfulness. Actually, he's using them to magnify the Lord's faithfulness. It is in faithfulness that the Lord afflicts. Now, we're all afflicted in one way or another, some of us more greatly than others. Afflictions are not bad for us. That's what the psalmist writes here. Okay, now he does pray for comfort, but notice that the comfort must come according to the word, Thy word unto Thy servant. We ought not to look for, in other words, illicit comforts in our afflictions. Right? Not illicit, not carnal comforts, but comforts that are indeed according to Thy word unto Thy servant. And he didn't have to use the word servant there, but he did, in that he is bringing himself underneath the sovereignty of God, underneath the providence of God, without murmuring, "I'm Thy servant, afflict me as Thou wilt, and send me comfort according to Thy word." All right, so then, "Let Thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for Thy law is my delight." Again, that's a reiteration of the same principle that we have in verse 76. All right, so then he turns his attention to the proud. Let the proud be ashamed, for they have dealt perversely with me without a cause. Notice he does not pray particularly for deliverance, but let the proud be ashamed. Now, the word ashamed there can have several different meanings. One meaning is that they might be ashamed of their mistreatment of the righteous so that they would be induced to repent. This could be construed or could be understood as a prayer for the good of those who have afflicted the psalmist, right? Certainly that would follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, the deacon Stephen, and so on. That would follow that example very, very nicely. All right, then the last verse, we'll just skip to the last. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Sound in thy statutes. The word sound there often is used for whole or healthy. And all according to the commandments and to the statutes of the Lord. All right, so the next section, beginning in verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. This is a very humble admission on the part of the psalmist. No other hope. That if it were not for the salvation of the Lord, our souls would faint. So my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. And you see that the but there, it's been added for smoothing by the translators. So if we're reading it without that, it says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, I hope in thy word. And you can see how there is some adverse contrast there. And so on the one hand, my soul is fainting. On the other hand, I am hoping in thy word. So there is no hope other than the word of God for the psalmist here. And then he goes on to expand upon that. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? Now, this is a time of affliction for the psalmist, but again, he is applying himself unto the word of God. Notice he says, I've become like a bottle in the smoke. And when we hear that as 21st century folks, we think of a glass bottle that's all ashed over. Well, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a leather bottle. That's what bottles were made of in those days. That has been hung in the smoke, that is dried and cracked and cannot bear anything. It's good for nothing, in other words. I'm like a bottle in the smoke. I'm drawn. I'm hardened. I am brittle. That kind of thing. I'm like a bottle in the smoke. Yet, I do not forget thy statutes. You see his reverence for the word of God? That no matter the affliction, he's not going to forget the statutes of the Lord. No matter how difficult his difficulty is, what does he apply himself to? He applies himself to the statutes of God. We have heard stories. Maybe some of you have read histories, accounts of battles and wars and things like that. And you know, you have to feel for those guys that are on the field in such times. I mean, that is an afflicting circumstance. Bullets whizzing over your head, explosions going off, you're under the threat of death every second, and so on. That's an afflictive situation. And often we hear about things like the fog of war, how morals go out the window. You remember that portion perhaps in Moby Dick? Maybe some of you have read that book. If you haven't, I would recommend it, although it can be a little tedious. There's some really interesting studies there of human nature. There's a point at which Starbuck is calling his men back in, and his men refuse to come in. We're wailing men and our blood is up and we can't stop now, kind of thing. Notice what the psalmist says. I'm like a bottle in the smoke. I am in the depth of affliction, yet I do not forget thy statutes. There's never a time in our lives where we, quote unquote, get a pass. Lord, it's too hard. I'm giving up here. Again, the example of the psalmist is in the other direction. Okay, so then he cries out in the face of his enemies that the Lord would execute judgment on them that persecute him. The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. Notice then, if it's not after the law of God, it is what? Unjust. Right? It is unjust. And so Since it's not after the commandments of God, it's sinful. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. So they have perverted the law of God. They've brought the psalmist under some kind of judgment perversely. And so he cries out, help thou me. Set things right according to thy commandments. Then notice, they had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. The same principle again, that no matter how deep the affliction, we're going to hear the word of God. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, thy covenant fidelity, and so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Again, very strong commitments on the part of the psalmist. All right, then the last section, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. This is one of those very reverent statements that we talked about a moment ago. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. What are the things that you know that last? Think about it. We as human beings often succumb to the thought, everything changes. I remember just since I've been here in Dallas. So how long has that been now? Since 1998. Hard to believe it's been that long. Almost 20 years, 19 or so years. And I picked up someone from the airport a couple of weeks ago. And although there was a time when I was driving through the city regularly, I hadn't been there in about a year downtown. Just didn't have a reason to go downtown. Drove through downtown. Of course, I like driving through downtown because a lot of those buildings that are standing up, I worked on those, you know. And so, okay, there's that. Yeah, I know that building. I know that. There were a lot of buildings I'd never seen before. It's amazing how quickly things change. But the Word of God doesn't change. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. This is why we have that special understanding of the Word of God as truth. Because it will never change. We might say today, downtown there are, and let's just pick a number, 237 buildings. And that's true. But that may not be true tomorrow, or the next day, or a year from now, or 10 years from now, or 18 years from now. But what the Bible says today is what it said when it was first penned, and what it will say forever. Forever. That means that it's more important than anything else we know. And it is to be loved, and it is to be cherished, and it is to be memorized, and it is to be lived by. Because it's more important than anything else we know. The Word of God is eternal because it corresponds to God Himself. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Every other word you know will change, but not this one. What great reverence the psalmist expresses then when he sees the word of God as eternal. Thy faithfulness is unto all generation. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances for all. Everything serves his ends, the Lord's ends. The planets, the stars, the space dust, the solar wind, whatever it is, all serve his interests. And then notice, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Well, after he said what he said about the word of God, you know what he means. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. We don't often think of the law like that, do we? That the law has been a means of quickening for the psalmist. Oh, no, Pastor, you don't understand. The law doesn't quicken. The gospel does. Well, your argument is not with me. It's with the psalmist. With thy statutes, with thy law, thou hast quickened me. And of course, we understand what that means because we have that greater revelation of the New Testament that tells us what David meant here, that the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ and the perfection of his obedience. But the Lord doesn't change the standard. He actually sends his son, who
who will keep the standard in our stead. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. And so we have the great desire of the psalmist, seeking after the precepts of God. And then once again, the wicked have waited to destroy him, but I will consider thy testimonies over and again. How does the psalmist apply himself to persecution? I'm going to put a balm of the Word of God on that. I'm going to put the medicine of the Word of God upon all my afflictions. Whether that's my bodily afflictions, my own weaknesses, whether it's the persecution of my enemies, it doesn't matter what the affliction is. The cure is always the same. The Word of God comes upon us, to us. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. It's an interesting way to put it there at the end. An end of all perfection. Notice, I would say that instead of the conjunction but there, I would actually term it as I have seen an end of all perfection, and thy commandment is exceeding broad. That is the end of all perfection. It goes broader than we could imagine and encompasses every area of our lives. We often say things like, we cannot know God unto perfection. We cannot comprehend Him. That's true. But His law, His word, comprehends us. Thy commandment is exceeding broad. All right, well, what great reverence and a good example we received from the psalmist. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.